Well, good morning, friends. It is Friday with Jim here, and I'm your host, Jim Wilkins. It's kind of exciting here in the studio this morning. It's a pledge drive, and we'll be talking about that. But first, I'm happy to introduce my guest, kind of a last-minute fill-in, Brad Johnson, who is the assistant city manager for the city of Astoria, as well as the Astoria police chief. Thanks for coming over, Brad.
Anytime, Jim. It's always a pleasure to come on, especially during pledge week, to help raise funds for this pretty this necessary community partner.
Now, some people might not know a lot about Brad Johnson. Could you tell me a little bit about your personal history and what led you to be here?
Yeah. So in the early 1990s, I was looking for a job as a police officer, and my wife and I had applied many places. I'd applied. My wife and I were thinking about moving many places, and I was not successful in many of them. And we had decided that Astoria was the only outstanding job application we were still going to consider, and we were going to start focusing on the Yakima Valley, where we were living at the time. About a week after we made that decision, I got the letter from Astoria, right after we'd bought a house, and I think my wife was 8 months pregnant at the time, so the timing was horrible, but we made the jump anyway. I came down here in 1992 to a very different Astoria than what we have now. Started working for a police chief named Rich Lockwood, who was here for about 6 months, then worked 15 years for Rob Dupree. Was very fortunate to work with Pete Curzon for 6 years, where I really think Pete did a great job of preparing me to become chief of police with Astoria. Had a good run along the way, you know, got to do a lot of different things. I got to be the detective, I was a sergeant, I was an admin sergeant, I was the deputy chief. Used to say that the detective was the best job in the building. And then I became chief, and I know that I now have the best job in the building. So lots of fun, and an interesting challenge with the assistant city manager hat tossed in as well, in that it forces me to think about things a little differently, I think, than I would if I was just the chief of police.
Right. You know, one of the things that's come up here lately is the issue of the transmission tower for our for our emergency services. And I know that there's a gentleman up on the hill that lives kind of by Shively Park, Ron Zilli.
Uh-huh.
Ron took exception to the sighting of that pole up there and did, I thought, a remarkable job of research and presentation, very professional, in opposition to the placement of that pole. I wonder if you could to give us kind of your perspective on that.
So that's actually been a majority of my week this week, is preparing. Monday evening we're going to be asking City Council to provide some clear guidance to us on where we should go next. This process started actually about 8 years ago, when Verizon came to the city and said, we want to put more equipment on the existing communications tower. And at about the same time, almost coincidentally, the ownership of that tower, if you would, that's there, kind of transferred from the Public Works Department to the Police Department, and we became responsible for kind of the management of it. And we looked at that and said, no. the structure wouldn't hold it. It is actually over capacity as it is. And some things need to change there. And, you know, when I first became involved with that tower, I realized that we're in a historic park. Mm-hmm. And we are the first thing you see when you come into that park is that ugly, ugly communications tower. So I realized that we had an opportunity here to start doing something different. And we have spent the better part of 8 years trying to find out what that different is. We went through a lot of different things with the between Verizon and city staff, just trying to come to an option that we felt we could actually take to the city council. We got to that point after eliminating a lot of other things in April Fool's Day in 2013, when I presented an option to the city council that I was pretty sure was going to fail, because just before I presented my presentation. And the friends of the column were presenting their presentation, which was directly in conflict with what I wanted to, what we were trying to tell the city council was a good option. So sometimes timing is everything. Sometimes it works for you. This time it did not.
Yeah.
But what that did was it allowed us to get the friends of the column actually engaged in this process, and they were able to move Verizon back to a site that we had a preference for, which is out on Pipeline Road above Reservoir Ridge. We like that site because it offers us future expansion. It offers there's no threat from trees. There's no threat from public, you know, development around it. Nobody's going to see it. It takes our ugly off the front porch, if you would, and puts it way out on the back porch.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought that was a pretty good compromise. The one piece of it that was, I mean, from the very beginning, we knew it was going to be difficult, was the Shively Tower. And unfortunately, Verizon did a very poor job in preparing their photo sims, and I think really tainted the whole concept. And that Shively is dead. I think that's pretty obvious. I don't think anybody's going to ever say that that's an option that we should be pursuing. So we are now looking for some guidance as to what we should be doing, because we don't know now.
Yeah. Well, I know that it's kind of a contentious issue, but that's going to be resolved at the next council meeting then.
Well, we're going to be talking about it at the next council meeting. I don't know that we're going to resolve it.
Okay.
But we're going to, so we're operating under the, or we have been operating under the assumption that our top priority is getting the communications facility away from Astor Park. Given the land use decision, we don't know that that is our top priority anymore. So now we need to kind of figure out what our top priority is.
Well, Brad Johnson, police chief, I've got a listener called in with a question here for you.
Okay.
Can you address the civilian police academy that the city runs?
The Citizens Police Academy, yes. We don't have it scheduled yet this year. We will be running it. We try to run it once a year. It's fairly manpower intensive for us because we use everybody, with the exception of our dispatchers. We only use a couple of them.
But what is it exactly, Brad?
So we spend a number of weeks, we bring people into the department, and we kind of go through our operations, kind of letting people see what it is that we're doing so that they can understand the world of policing a little more, because we're kind of a secretive bunch. We don't really advertise all the things we do. You don't see all the aspects, you know, what it is that happens once we, I mean, you see what we do in public, but you don't see the work that goes on behind the scenes, processing the evidence, why we're doing some of those things. So we go into the motivations behind things. We'll, I think one of the most popular things we do is we take them up to the police range and let them actually fire firearms. Last year we were able to bring in a firearm simulator that's kind of like a huge video game where you watch videos and interact with those things to try to build better responses to situations where you can de-escalate, or when it's called for, you use simulated force to resolve situations. It really gives people a little glimpse into what it is that is the business of policing.
I'm wondering what's been the most challenging situation that you've run into as far as police work in the last couple of years?
You know, I'd have to say that by far the most challenging thing that I've seen in my career happened in February this year, the death of Sergeant Jason Gooding. That was tough. And the great thing was the work that was done by everyone pulling together to help Seaside get through that tragedy. I ended up spending most of my week, the week after that, down in Seaside, helping out, as did Matt Workman. We had officers from around the county actually working in Seaside so that they could kind of help get through that healing process. But Losing a police officer in the line of duty is, you know, I've been near agencies that have done that before. I've been to the funerals. I've known people. I've known way too many people that have died in the line of duty. But to have it that close is by far the hardest thing that I think we've seen.
Yeah, I can understand that. Well, Brad Johnson, I hate to remind you, but it's pledge drive here at Coast Community Radio.
You know, Jim, and some people are probably going to be angry with me because I'm not going to pledge on their show, but I'm going to go ahead and pledge $100 today.
Wow. Did you hear that, folks? Anybody can react to that in a challenge grant if you'd like. Brad Johnson, police chief, assistant city manager, has just pledged. Did you hear this, Kate? She has just pledged $100.
Thank you, Chief. I did indeed. He's thrown down that $100 gauntlet. Who's going to pick it up? We're here in Friday with Jim, with Police Chief Brad Johnston, and Kathleen Moore. Gain has just joined us in the studio. Good morning again, Kathleen.
Good morning, Kate. Good morning, guys. It's going pretty morning. Well this morning. Really glad.
It's not near well enough, though. I think we probably need
better.
many more people to call in.
You're absolutely right. Now, we were talking about the $100 pledge level. We do have an exciting gift at that level. We have a gift certificate as a pair of tickets. It's two tickets to the Paul McKenna Band coming to the Astoria, and this is going to be at the Armory. Now, if you're if you love the kind of music that Albert's going to be playing in about 20 minutes, you know that he bridges in between, he is of a folk persuasion, and these folks play traditional Scottish, I think Scottish and British folk and traditional music. It's the Paul McKenna Band. They're coming to Astoria at the Armory, so that you'll be one of the first people to actually see a concert at the Armory. This pair of tickets is valued at $40, and it can be yours with your $100 pledge to Coast Community Radio this morning.
Bingo. You can meet the Chief's challenge, you can pick up those tickets, and you can do your part for Coast Community Radio this morning. Chief Johnson, we really appreciate that you have been often so willing to come in and appear not only on Friday with Jim, but on other programs, and just keeping us connected with the community here on the North Coast, and particularly with Astoria. Having that outreach, being able to talk to the local voices that shape our lives is so important. And we really appreciate that Astoria has responded, or that the Astoria Police Department responds like this, and that you do with support and volunteering to lend your voice.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's intentional. I believe that we need to be very engaged with our community in order for us to be successful. I think that's the key to having a good police department and community relationship. And yeah, it's my pleasure. I wouldn't be down here at KMUN all the time if it wasn't fun.
Well, you know that one of the great missions of the Coast Community Radio is to try to be there as much as we can, 24/7. You know, when the lights go out, we'll still be broadcasting. We've tried to really educate ourselves to become a good emergency broadcasting station that will give the information that's needed during those times of trouble. And we really appreciate the support from our local officials very much.
You know, last Saturday, when the power went out, there was another radio station that was off the air, who I won't name, but KMUN was on the air, and, and that's noticed.
Now that has often been the case. We do strive to stay on the air in bad weather events and some of the other emergencies that can happen in this area. Preparedness, right. Longtime listeners will know we do a lot on preparedness. That's one of our primary functions here. And it's so great that public officials will take that walk up the hill in an event. if won't be able to do the drive, people do walk up the hill to keep community members informed about what's going on, what the current situation is. And it's always best to hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So it's really appreciated that you folks make this pilgrimage up to Coast Community Radio to inform listeners. And that is one of the services that we provide. We've been providing that service for 3 decades now. We'd like to go in more decades on into the future. We do that with community support. Coast Community Radio has been an integral part of this community. If you're in Tillamook, if you're in Ocean Park, if you're in Kathlamet, in Klatskanai, This is your primary broadcast source for news and information on the Lower Columbia region, Northwest Oregon, Southwest Washington. Keep that going. We need your call of support this morning. 503-325-0010 is the number to call, or pledge online at coastradio.org. We make it easy.
I think there's a 1-800 number there, too, 1-800-518-0010, just in case you're out of the area.
Now, that is public service. Thank you, Chief Johnston.
So make that call now, and remind you, the chief has just thrown down a $100 pledge gauntlet. And we are here on Friday with Jim, with host Jim Wilkins.
That's me, Kate, and I would just amplify everybody's requests for support here at Coast Community Radio, and particularly matching Chief Johnston's very generous $100 pledge. Thank you, Chief.
It's my pleasure.
You know, I'm wondering, it seems to me, I may be wrong, but are we seeing an increase in homeless people around Astoria? And if so, how do you deal with it, and how does it impact our community?
It's an interesting problem that, there I went again. So we had a little task force a while back, and I used the word problem and got chastised quite rightly. It's not a problem. It's a fact of our life. And we do have a population in our community that is homeless. And I think the first thing that we need to actually remember is that being homeless is not a crime. The police are the people that actually end up interacting with these folks so many times, not because they're engaged in criminal activity, but because there's not somebody else that does that. As with many things these days, the police become kind of that that catcher of all the people that are falling through the cracks, and we have some of those right now. We have some that are pretty intractably homeless. They are engaged in some behaviors that make it very difficult for them to be part of our community, and those folks, it's really hard to provide services for. Just saw last night in the paper that our warming shelter is kind of rolling up for the spring and summer. That has been something that has really helped, I think, with that situation, in that it gives that portion of our population a feeling of being connected to the community. And I think that's part of, you know, if you want people to act in pro-social ways, they have to feel like they're part of the social environment.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not part of that social environment, there's no way they're ever going to care about what people think about what they're doing. That is one of those keys, is having, you know, helping to engage those social agencies. A lot of this kind of rotates around mental health services, drug and alcohol addiction, you know, all those things kind of play in. And then, you know, I saw an article this morning somebody sent me that Portland actually has decided that they're going to fund sending people away from Portland that are homeless, which I'm sure we've been some of the recipient.
What do you mean, like put them on a bus, yeah. One-way ticket?
Exactly.
Wow.
you know, that happens to us. We know that... just as the population that's coming here because they love Astoria and they've heard about Astoria, those who are on the street hear about Astoria as well. And we know that Astoria's got a good reputation out there, both in all portions of the population. And that brings us problems as well as joy.
But I'm glad to hear that. Frankly, call me sentimental, but I'd rather have us have a reputation for welcoming and trying than something that was, come here, we're going to ship you away.
Right.
That means a lot to me as a citizen here, that our police force is engaged in serving and protecting and not just keeping things controlled. That means a lot to me.
No, we really did. We spent a while, a couple months, looking at some of the issues, and you know, one of the things that we really need as a community to do is strengthen some of those social services and find ways that we can bridge those gaps. And we don't have—I mean, we have a housing crisis in Clatsop County, not just Astoria. Finding rentals is next to impossible. We don't have enough low barrier beds for people. And some of the programs that have closed over the years, like the Uniontown Apartments, that Clatsop Behavioral was running when that was no longer funded, those really did leave large holes in our community that haven't been replaced. So.
You know, I moved here about a year ago, and I moved here with the with the security of knowing that I was coming for a job, and I did have some connections. It was brutal to try to find an apartment, and I already had the security of a little bit of social stability and a job. I can't imagine what our citizens face when they don't have that.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. I know, my son couldn't find a rental, ended up living with us for quite a while he was buying a house because he couldn't afford to rent. He could afford to buy a house, though.
How does that work?
It's really an interesting dynamic right now where, he was fortunate. He's got a good safety network, a good social situation, but not everybody does. And that there's an awful lot of people in our community that are pretty fragile in their housing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chief Johnson, I'm wondering what you see as particular challenges for your department coming up in the future.
Yeah, staffing is one of our big issues. Our staffing's been stagnant for my entire career. We've been 15-16 kind of back and forth. We got to 17 once, and we are busy. Our calls are becoming more and more complex. So they take longer to get through. We are dealing with more and more mental health calls that are just so time-consuming. It's not something you can just go take care of and walk away from. They're things that require a great deal of care. So our ability to keep up is really getting harder and harder. And the city's not going to have more money anytime soon. That staffing really does become a significant problem for us.
So. Well, we're in the middle of our spring pledge drive here at Coast Community Radio. And we have Sarah from Madras has called in and pledged in support of Chief Johnson. Brad, you're bringing in the pledges.
Well, thank you, Sarah.
He has made a $100 challenge grant out there this morning. Sarah may have matched it, I don't know, but we are waiting for your pledge of support for Friday with Jim and for all the great public affairs programming that we broadcast here. Jim, I have a question for you, sir. You know, you've been doing Friday with Jim for how long?
Oh, off and on for about 10 years, Kate.
For about 10 years. That's more than a decade of these kind of in-depth, interesting, personal interviews and conversations that you can have on the Friday with Jim show that are available every Friday morning, live at 9:30 and on podcast. For example, this morning's conversation we will have as a podcast in later on today, and that's with all of the shows. And because of Jim's reputation, because of his involvement in the community, his decades of service on the community, he's been a former member of the council. Jim has the connections that make these interviews very interesting with the people that we need to hear from. Example, from Police Chief Brad Johnston this morning, guest several times on the show and always a welcome guest to keep us connected with the important people that make the difference in all of our lives here in this community. Again, Chief Johnston, thank you so much. And Kathleen Morgane has joined us for the end of the show here this morning.
Hi, Kate. Hello. Hello, folks. As you know, we are in the midst of our spring pledge drive, and we got a couple more pot sweeteners this morning. For a $25 pledge, we have gift certificate to the Rusty Cup here in Astoria. Now, they're just a couple of blocks away from Coast Community Radio down on Commercial Avenue, just right by the Liberty Theater, and they do lattes, all kinds of coffee drinks. They're a longtime supporter of Coast Community Radio, and they have kicked in a $5 gift certificate. So you can go out there this morning, enjoy a cup of coffee, courtesy of your membership in Coast Community Radio. $25 is our student and budget membership level. Give us a call right now at 503-325-0010. Lynn, our phone volunteer, is waiting to hear from you. She's got details on that membership level, all the other membership levels, and some of the great benefits of becoming a member of Coast Community Radio. But the most important part of your membership is this sustaining, the ability to sustain this broadcast service that comes to you 24/7 each month of the year, each day, mostly produced by volunteer members in our own community right here. It comes from the community, goes back to the community, and it is made possible by the community, and your membership really counts. We really would like to hear from you this morning. We're trying to keep these drives short, and we can do it if more of you call per day. So give that number a call. You should know it by now, 503-325-0010, or pledge online at coastradio.org.
Well, Chief Johnson, that's one hat. Assistant City Manager Johnson, the second hat. Really appreciate you coming in. I know you've been a longtime supporter of Coast Community Radio, and you've been on the air quite a bit. What do you think Coast Community Radio does for the community?
Wow. You know, I go back to bedtime stories. when my kids were little, and you know, we knew when Where's Our Pajamas came on, they could go to sleep listening to a story. And then the eclectic music that just helps broaden your experiences in life. You know, you get to hear something new that you'd never heard. I started coming in and hanging out with Norma at Sonidos Latinos, and I would never have listened to that music.
Every day it's something new.
Yeah, and you know, then the blues or the Jazz with the DA. That's not the name of his show, but Josh's show. You know,
DJ DA.
DJ DA. You know, and then Blue Monday. Some of those shows that you get some of the best music and. And you just don't know what's going to be on for sure when you turn on the car. That's kind of great. And then just keeping the community connected, you know, with the programs that you have, listening to Counterspin as I came in, and that conversation about public policy and what it is that to be involved with your government. Those are things that are interesting, even if they don't always agree with my view of the world. Hearing other people's view of the world is good. So I've heard more great things on this radio station that kind of forced me to say, I should think about that. And that's good.